Sai che sola non ti lascio mai. Sei le mie gioie e tutti i miei guai. Io amo l'Inter.
Welcome back, brothers of the world. Ciao, hello, bonjour, guten Tag, hola. This is the official Inter podcast in English.
Ciò che grida è come un pazzo, sia ad ogni gol. E non so quanto assurdo.
Welcome back, as I said, and I'm your host Richard Hall, as always, and it's the Inter podcast in English, coming straight after, may I say, the fantastic victory we've just had in the Champions League against Atletico Madrid. What a win it was. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. We're going to talk about the fact of how high we've been flying recently. It just seems to get better and better, doesn't it, at the moment, to be an Inter fan. It's as simple as that. And we can take great pride and great satisfaction in what's been happening at the moment. Domestically, in Europe, shall we go on, really, you know? It's been fantastic, and I don't think we can really ask for any more. So, without further ado, let me just give you a heads up of what's going on with this podcast right now, because we've got quite a show for you today. So obviously we are looking at the Champions League mostly, but we're going to touch very briefly on the game against San Antonio. Obviously we previewed that in our previous podcast, and well, it all came to fruition again, so we'll be quickly brushing over that one. It's just another win, isn't it, these days? Then we'll be talking about the game against Atletico, the potential of the second leg. We'll look forward to the game in the Villa del Mar in Lecce later, obviously in the next weekend. I'll just be talking about an old classic that we've had against Lecce as well, of course. We always have a little bit of nostalgia in the podcast, which, well, we can't do without that anymore, can we? So we'll definitely be touching base with that. And then, sadly, I will be, the news is sad, but the tribute is heartfelt. We want to be talking about Andreas Bremer, of course, but we'll touch on that later at the most important part of the show. So, okay, let's move straight on to the show and Salernitana. Well, it couldn't really have been any better. I mean, we talked about the facts of how good Inter have been against Salernitana. Obviously, I mentioned about the facts of the times I've been to see them when Inter had won 5-0. We'd seen Lautaro score. He just scores against them all the time, doesn't he? And we saw that again in an away fixture. We'd seen Inter score twice, 5-0 in one season. We wax lyrical. And again, let me just go through some statistics. We do like a bit of a number. Not as much as Gaia likes statistics, as you will see on the international corner. She really does love statistics. But yes, I will just give you this. So Inter win 4-0 against Salernitana. Thuram gets the goal on the 17th. Martinez Lautaro, of course he scores against them on the 19th. Denzel comes in, Denzel Dumfries, and gets one. And Marko Arnautović on the 90th minute. We'll come to him later, perhaps, I think. It's 4-0. Look, Inter absolutely flying in the league. Results around. There's a certain team from Verona may have done us some favours as well. Also, a team maybe just up the road from Monza. That helped a little bit as well, I would have said. But look, Inter are the masters of their own destiny at the moment, and with 24 games played, 20 wins, 3 draws, 1 defeat. That's 59 goals scored, by the way, and only 12 conceded, giving us a goal difference of 47. And when you think that Juventus have got a goal difference of 21 and Milan of 18, that is absolutely phenomenal. So we need to be quite proud of the boys for that one. And this game, again, talking of stats, 26 shots we had, 10 on target. In reply, 1. This is where Gazzetta dello Sport gave Jan Sommer famously no ratings because he had nothing to do, which is incredible. And we know Gazzetta's ratings, they notoriously hard, but giving him nothing was amusing, if nothing else. But good old Jan, even if it had have come at him, I'm sure he would have stopped it. But anyway, our pass accuracy was 92% in that game. Our possession was 73%. We had 632 passes in comparison to 250 from Salernitana. It could have been more. It could have been about 6-0 in the first half, but it wasn't. But the good thing is that, look, Inter are just creating that many chances and we still come away with a 4-0 win. And we can't be too arrogant that we're going to start saying that we should have scored more. We did brilliantly well. Inzaghi's rotating the squad really well and things are working for us. So why was he rotating the squad? I'm out of breath already. There's so much to get through. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because we had the Champions League game against Atleti, and that's why the game was on Friday night. So, moving swiftly on after this, we will get back to the main part against Atleti. So, wow, it was always going to be a bit of a tough game, this one, because Atleti have... Look, they're a great team. Obviously, not as defensive as they used to be. A lot more free-flowing. So it's really tactically a bit interesting about how the teams are going to look at this game. Especially when you think that, you know, were Inter going to go and try and play their free-flowing best football, or were they going to allow for Atleti to come at them? Which wasn't really expected, if we're honest. Were Atleti going to try and defend in their old manner, considering the prowess of Inter at front? What happened in this game really was that, yeah, Inter, I think, especially in the first half, before unfortunately Turan went out with an abductor injury, it was really, really good. I mean, Inter overall in this game, let's just get a bit of context. Look, for those who have been living under a rock in the last 24 hours, Inter won 1-0 with a goal from Marko Arnautović. We'll talk about him later. 19 shots to 7, 5 on target to 0 from Atleti, 57% of the passes, and 57% possession to 43% for Atleti, 615 passes to 478 from Atleti. Inter were the better team overall, I think. I think that the second half was very difficult in the sense that Atleti did play really well. Some of the football that was played by both teams was quite exceptional at times. It was a very tough game. I don't think Inter played well, I don't think they got into their flow at all. I think that we've certainly played better, but it's not always about playing that free-flowing football that we saw against Salernitana. It doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes you have to grind out a result, and that's what we did tonight. You know, Barella, the way he counter-attacked Pavard, coming out like some sort of libero, was incredible. Bastoni, just again, brilliant. Some of our players weren't on potentially top form. We certainly noticed when two of them come off, when Dumfries came on, the pace that Dumfries allowed us to have was brilliant. Look, and with the greatest respect to Marco, I think he'd be the first one to say that, you know, he probably could have had a hat-trick tonight. There's one miss in particular that I think he'll regret. But look, try again. That's what you have to do, and that's what he did do, and it came off. You know, Lautaro, the save comes in, he's at a bit of an acute angle, he puts it in, doesn't matter how it goes in, we go into that second leg in Madrid with 1-0 by our side, and that's fantastic. And look, you know what, we did that for Andy, we did that for Andreas Bremer. It was obviously the tributes before the game to him were fantastic. I'll talk more about that later. But it was a great result in what was a bit of a tragic morning for Inter. It's brilliant, and it takes us into our next game against Lecce full of confidence. I think it's March the 16th. I think it's March 16th to return leg. And I think, realistically, Inter will look at that. Sorry, March the 13th, the return leg. And to go to Madrid with that 1-0 win behind us is fantastic. So I think, you know, look, when we go to play Lecce, we're looking realistically that this is a game that, again, we just need to keep bridging that gap. And we've got 63 points, Juventus are on 54, Milan on 52. Lecce, you know, they're in 13th at the moment with 24 points. I think that You've got to really think that, yeah, maybe there will be some more players rested, but we can do that. Look at the way he's resting the wing backs and alternating them. Lecce, you know, the last game out, 2-0 down. Well, went 2 down to Torino. They've not had much luck recently. The Sunday before, they lost 4-0 to Bologna. But let's not forget, they have had a few good results. And yeah, you know, the game against that, they did beat Fiorentina 3-2, remember? But again, this is a game that Inter think that we should win. There's no question about that. So it'll be interesting to see who that starting 11 is for that game. I'm sure there'll be rotation. Obviously, we'll hope the best for Touré. I'm at the time of recording, we're not quite sure the seriousness of the injury yet. But we've just shown again, you know, look, Madicom may have not been on complete fire tonight, but he's not played an awful lot. So we can't expect him to just come on, and we can't expect to have, you know, 6 Lautaros just in our back pocket. It's not realistic. But the boys did brilliantly tonight, and we can all be very, very proud as Inter fans. And I personally am exceptionally proud of this team. We can't be critical. We can't play superlative football every single game, but we got the job done, and that's a sign of champions. So, Lecce next. We will talk, obviously, more about that. But what I want to do... Well, when I say we'll talk more about that, we'll talk more about Lecce in the sense of, let's go back in time to, once again, as I like to do, a very nostalgic time. A time when, you know, maybe you were born, maybe you weren't. I hope that most of you were. I unfortunately was, in the sense of fortunate enough to watch Inter at this time. But yeah, it's quite a while ago. We're going to go back to the 1997-1998 season. Oh, what a time it was. I was 17, 18 by the time... No, was I still 17 by the time this game kicked off? Obviously, following everything that Inter did. And yeah, it was some squad we had then. So I'm taking you back to a time, and it's relevant because it was in February. It's the 15th of February, so we're just a little after that. But it's a great time to talk about it. This game was actually at San Siro, so, you know, not the Via del Mare, where we will be playing on the weekend. But I'm just going to take you through this match. It was fantastic. I actually remember this very, very clearly. You know, the team we had for that game, I mean, I'm just going to run through a few of those players. Pagliuca was in goal, Bergami playing, Fresi, Colonesi, Milinesi. Giocaia, Vinta, Simone, relevant from our conversation earlier. Benoit Kowe, Paolo Sosa and Ronaldo. And obviously on the bench, Javier Zanetti's there. We always knew he would be. And it's their manager, Luigi Simone. Just out of interest with the... there's some good players in that Lecce squad as well. You may remember Francesco De Francesco. He was a good player. Cyprien was in there. Jean-Pierre Cyprien, that is. And a lot of an aging Giuseppe Giannini, and Francesco Balmeri as well, let's not forget him. So, but Lecce still at that time, you know, probably not the best outfit in the division, because it was a strong league that season, a strong league. And Inter, of course, that season, you know, would finish second in Serie A. You win the UEFA Cup, remember, and we finished in the quarterfinals of the Coppa d'Italia. It was a strong squad. A really strong squad. I didn't mention the likes of Ivan Zamorano and Recoba, who probably you know, didn't feature in that game. But yes, it was. I mean, great start for the season for Inter. Didn't lose a game until the 21st of December. But interestingly, when this game against Lecce comes along, Inter have had a bit of a difficult period, losing to Bari, drawing with Empoli, beating Brescia only just, losing to Bologna, drawing with Fiorentina. And then this game comes up in February against Lecce, and 60,000 at San Siro. And the biggest thing we're going to remember this for is Ronaldo, the our centre forward, a phenomenon, and he scores a hat-trick this game. And it really was brilliant. I mean, his first goal is absolutely superb, the way he always twists and turns, such a powerful drive for the opener on 18 minutes. Milinesi gets a rare goal on the half an hour mark, And what's great about this is he knocked it in from close range and he's ecstatic. It's like he doesn't know how to celebrate. Absolutely superb. A lovely moment. I love those type of celebrations where they don't know what to do with themselves. And, you know, it's a real... I mean, look at the kit that day. Wow. It was incredible. And it just has, for me, one of those... It's one of those eras where you look in, everything about Inter feels like Inter. Even though there was so much talent in the squad and some of the results were just brilliant that season. Some of the victories. I mean, Inter had beaten Lecce 5-1, by the way, in the Della Madonna. And we quickly talk about that. And that was in September. Jorka had got two. Ronaldo got two in that. So that means 5 goals overall in both fixtures for that. And it's Jorgan's got the final one, by the way, in that game. So then that was 10 goals. 10 goals. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So... yeah, a brilliant result. Also, two of the things, should we say, is that Ronaldo gets another 2 goals in that game. One was a penalty and one was a close-range header on 79 minutes to finish that game off. Probably a goal of the game, ironically, could have been Benoit Kawe in the sense of the way that he takes the ball down from a ball through. It's a beautiful touch, Bergkamp-esque, if I may. And yeah, it was a lovely finish into 5. Lecce nil. It's on the Inter. You can find that on Inter TV. It's one of their games that they remember very, very fondly. So please go and have a look at that. Look at the way Ronaldo completely dominates Lecce. Absolutely outpowers them. It's an unbelievable game. Lecce's kit's a very traditional one as well. It's oozing nostalgia. And it's an absolute classic. So let's hope for more of the same. Last time we did this, we did the Salernitana game when I nostalgically look back over a 5-0 win and we won 4-0 the next time. So let's hope that Inter can do something similar in the league and continue our incredible run. Okay, up next, I want to talk about the sad loss that we all felt from our hearts today. Welcome back to the Inter podcast in English with Richard Hall. And I think that most of you will resonate with this. Obviously, whilst a lot of the podcast is talking about, you know, the games that have gone, the games that are coming, and we look back nostalgically over certain areas where, you know, certain parts of our history are very great and glorious, and we look back with rose-tinted glasses, sometimes even... we're going to do that again, but in a bit of a sad way, well, not in a bit of a sad way, in a very, very sad way. And this is because this part of the podcast has changed. And what's obviously happened over the last, well, however long it's been now, 48 hours, not even that, about Andreas Bremer, Andy. A great player. So I just wanted to do a little tribute for him because I know there'll be a lot of people on this podcast who would have watched him play, who watched him play. There'll be lots of you like me who I grew up with this, and that's why it's very personal to me actually as part of the show. So I just want to go through a little bit of tribute to Andreas Bremer. And also people who maybe didn't, you know, see him play. It's I always think, you know, look, I never saw Meazza play, I never saw Corso play, but these players, when you go and research the history and you look at them, I mean, Meazza fascinates me like you wouldn't believe. There's so many players who can do that and are incredible. And I think that if you haven't seen Andreas, go and look at him. Use this as an opportunity. Read the tributes. Listen to the history. It's important that we know our history as Inter. We have a glorious one, so we need to share it. So I just want to take this couple of minutes really to just go back and say, you know, for me, it's goodbye Andreas Bremer, who for me was an icon of Inter. And today we're watching things unfold. And for one of our great captains who played with him at that level, Giuseppe Bergami, it was pretty much just too much when he was interviewed today. He paid tribute to his former friend and teammate, Andy Bremer. And I think the emotion got the better of him, you know, the unbreakable calmness and confidence that Beppe always holds. Unfortunately, it disappeared. He sort of hid that chiseled jawline of his behind his hands and he sobbed a little bit, saying that, you know, he said that I can only say that He was a true friend and a teammate, a great person both on and off the pitch. And he continued afterwards saying, we had a special friendship. I was very close to him and we'll miss him a lot. He did have a special friendship with him. And I think a lot of the players, as I'll come to later, did in that team. I think the shock of Bremer's passing, you know, comes not just from Inter fans, but from all over the globe. It's a man who, after all, you know, under 70,000 flashing cameras, he put home that penalty in the Italian 90 World Cup, as many attest to, and giving West Germany victory over Argentina, a team that involved some of our players, of course, you know, Klinsmann, Bremer, and of course, Lothar Matthäus. Yeah, everyone knows him for that, but yeah, everyone knows him for being one of those three Germans at Inter, and, you know, he will always be remembered for that iconic stage. Now, look, he was 63 years old. It's too early. They always are. And he passed away due to a cardiac arrest. It was sudden, as we're told. And it stunned the world of football. And we know that he's going to be remembered for Kaiserslautern and Bayern. He had great success with both of these clubs that, you know, absolutely, and more. Zaragoza is another one. Saarbrücken. But, you know, look, it's Inter where he's passing, I think will be hardest to bear. And at the Nerazzurri, you know, he encapsulates one of our golden eras where he stood tall, and that was in a league of superstars. So I really want to mention this because, you know, look, personally, and also from a personal note, so if you don't mind me talking about myself for a little bit and the influence he had on me, because we all have different reasons. But personally for myself, Andreas Bremer, Lothar Matthäus, Jürgen Klinsmann started everything for me. The reason I'm talking right now, I'm lucky enough to talk right now and do this for Inter, is because of the three Germans, along, you know, with that Giovanni Trapattoni's side, with Walter Zenger, Beppe Bergami, Nicola Berti, Riccardo Ferri, many, many more. Aldo Serena, you know, my father, as you know, I've said it on the podcast before, he brought me back a shirt from Milan in 1988. That was it for me. That was this era. Watching Bremer and company on BSkyB in the UK, it was like watching football from space. It was crazy. The stadiums, everything was amazing. And that love for Inter carried on until this moment. As I've written some words today, I'm speaking these words now. You know, we had Channel 4 in the UK, which showed all the Inter games after Bremer had obviously left. It was that team that, you know, won the Scudetto, the team in that Mazzurra shirt that you all know. That was my upbringing. I lived it since that day. You know, that was my introduction to writing, introduction to all those trips to Milan, so many trips to, you know, feel like I should move into San Siro. The fact that I can speak Italian badly, as many of you all know, everything started with him and those players. And as I said, now I'm lucky enough to do the podcast and work with Inter TV. But no matter all the troubles, the titles, the incredible moments I've had with the Ultras and everything, you know, nothing compares to that for me, because it's like anything in your childhood. It really resonates more than anything you can think of. And maybe it is rose-tinted glasses. Of course, you know, nothing was perfect back then, but it's important, and it was huge. From my point of view, you know, I've been so lucky in my career with Inter to have interviewed some amazing players. And back in 2015, I interviewed Beppe Bergami, and we stood in San Siro. It was empty. And I saw him just under Curva Nord, and under Curva Nord on the right hand side of the goalpost, if you're looking down the pitch. And I was also lucky enough to enter Mario Corso that day, and it was crazy. But Beppe Bergami, I mean, wow, that's a whole other podcast. But he was talking to me, and I was saying to him, the first time I ever was in San Siro, I was actually up in the Curva Nord as young, and I don't know why, I didn't take in a lot of the things that normal people take in, like normal people. Don't know what I'm saying about myself, but we didn't take it in. It was, I wanted to see where Bremer had scored, and it wasn't for Inter. It was for West Germany against Holland in the second round of Italia 90. And it wasn't even an Inter memory, but that was my childhood in a nutshell as well. And when I asked Bergami about this, he smiled and he said that, look, that was a game that was important for the Inter players because it was like the Derby della Madonnina in the World Cup, you know, because Bremer, Matthäus and Klinsmann were taking on Van Basten, Rijkaard and Hullet. And of course, Klinsmann scored as well that day, let's not forget. But yeah, those were the days for me, and it shaped my life. And that guy, I just remember going to San Siro and thinking, where was it? Where was it? And I saw it, and the happiness, it was like warm sunshine on you. You know, you're just like, wow, that was it. That was the spot. I dreamed of it all my life since I was 10 years old, to come and stand there and find out where he scored that goal. And I don't know why. But it was Bremer, and that was the first thing I ever thought of when I went to San Siro. The first thing, it wasn't about the fact of, you know, where did, I don't know, Recoba score from, where did Ronaldo score from, where did Lothar Matthäus, my hero, you know, where did Zenga, my other hero, make those saves, you know? No, where was Bremer? I don't know why. And that was in the time when there's three foreigners, and of course the Dutch and the Germans, everything, it's gone iconic now, and, you know, everywhere you are in the world, people remember that. So, yeah, I mean, look, I also had the privilege of interviewing Bremer myself back in 2018. A very good German friend of mine gave me this opportunity, and looking back, I wish I'd have done a better job. It was a poor interview. We can all say that with hindsight, but I didn't have much time, and it was very short, and yeah, it's pretty impossible to get everything I wanted to, and probably one of the few times I was pretty starstruck, because any of those three Germans or Zenga, I mean, Bergamy was hard enough, and that's another story again. But yeah, I was stunned, basically. And one thing was clear that came through, and the one thing I did get out of it is how selfless he was, because I asked him about his best goals and all the really horrible generic questions that everyone would ask. No thought process, just like, oh my God, it's Bremer. But the one thing I got out of that was just his love for three things. One was Trapattoni. It just oozed through that era, Trapattoni, Italy, Milan, and the Curva Nord, who he said that I don't care about the goals, celebrating in front of the Curva Nord was the most thing, that was the thing that was imprinted on his heart. And for me, if I got that out of it, that's a job done. If for younger ones, if you wonder why the world is mourning Andreas, it's because, if you're too young to see him play, there's so much to tell, and I can't really put it in this, but he was a two-footed player. We didn't even know which foot he was stronger on. He was the modern-day wing-back in an era where they didn't exist. Two-footed, like I said, the technique, the power. You think Hakan's good with set pieces. Go and look at Andreas. Stubborn, intelligent, defensive, powerful, professional, brilliant. It's wonderful to see the tributes come in from Andy, because, you know, look, from both him and Matthäus are arguably underappreciated outside of Germany. They signed for Inter in 88. And this, by the way, was in a league. Now, these guys propelled Inter to a stratospheric situation. And it was stratospheric to win that league at that time. When, if you think about it, and we go back to that era, you know, you have the fact that, you know, Napoli had Maradona, Carreca as well, Luigi Di Agostini, so many. Sampdoria, Viali, Mancini, we could go on. Fiorentina boasted, what, Baggio, Milan, the three Dutchmen, Torino had Muller, Roma, Giuseppe Giannini, Rudy Völler. And that's just without, off the top of my head, Lazio at the time had Ruben Sosa, soon to be of us. You know, it was crazy. And these powerful, majestic, Teutonic beasts of players brought the title. It feels terrible to sort of shorten that story. But I haven't got long on the podcast to do this, but you could fill a book and five podcasts on just on that season alone. To appreciate Andy for a fleeting moment, you can't do that without looking at some of the most majestic goals. And Inter have actually put this together on YouTube. So go and have a look at this, especially if you haven't seen him play. And to put it into context, as I said, these players that I mentioned before, the attacking talent in Serie A in the 80s, it's Bremer who actually wins the Serie A Player of the Year in 1989. And that says it all. The goals that he produced are incredible at era. And, you know, they're compiled by Inter on YouTube on the top 10. It's easy, just search it. It's not a problem. Have a look at the right-footed volley against Pisa from 20 yards. It's mental. I mean, how he does it. There's no right to pass through the crowd like it did in such ferocity. It's a genius hit. It's just sublime. It's unbelievable. If Hakan did it today, we'd be, wow. The left-footed chip against Roma is delectable. It is like, I don't know, how it's like sipping on the most beautiful red wine while eating the most gorgeous of Swiss chocolates, sat on a boat on a lake in the warm sunshine for no reason whatsoever while listening to classical music. It is phenomenally peaceful, but beautifully emotional. Any elite centre forward would be elated with that. It was unbelievable. The goal against Lecce, just look how many times that swerves. Think about the old type of football and then watch how many times that ball swerves. It's honestly, I just remembering it now, it's brilliant. I saw it today again. And that excludes the fact of the penalties, the thunderous free kicks, which he rivals Matthäus for, to be fair. And that's from Lothar's biggest fan probably here. But look, Inter's players from that 80s team as well today. Go to the Inter website and look, they gave really emotional statements today and they're all poured out from their hearts.
And their message was clear, not just a teammate, but a real friend until the end, a man who loved Inter, wanted to know what was going with Inter all the time. He literally was posting on Instagram 3 hours before he passed away about, we need to win today. He shaped the culture of Inter in my eyes. He's replacing everybody and all the net at Sudi Hearts. And perhaps it's best to leave the last words to Inter themselves, who, and this has nothing to do with me, it was Inter's socials, and who've put it perfectly. And I'm going to end the podcast with this. For me personally, before I do, thank you for my childhood, Andreas. Grazie. But from Inter, this. With him goes a piece of us. Goodbye, Andy. Non ti lascio mai. Sei le mie gioie e tutti i miei guai. Io amo l'Inter. Milano siamo solo noi.